So now that summer is coming to an end, although here in Jacksonville it sure doesn't feel that way, but we should have the best shaped bodies of our life, right? I mean, it is the end of summer. Usually people spend all the winter months preparing themselves for summer to look like abs of steel, those six-pack abs for summer. Well, I said usually. Now, this past July, I had sort of a meltdown, you might say. Normally, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I head over to the gym for 6 o'clock with training for Warriors. And I see a few of my brothers and sisters in the gym here this morning. And I usually get up and I work out Monday through Saturday. But this July was a little bit different. We went on a trip to California in the hopes of being able to spend time with a family, be able to see all the sights of the national parks. And one of our hopes was to go to the hotel gym every morning and work out. However, we got some really good deals at Holiday Inn Express, and there is a pancake machine that's there. Now, my wife Jennifer, she would make me pancakes. It was so nice because she loved using the machine so much that she just pressed that button a second time for pancakes for me. And next thing I knew, I was 13 pounds heavier. You know, all of the good food out in California, including the fried seafood from Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, really hit the spot. Now, when I returned home, I realized what a mess I have made with my nutritional plan. Everything that I learned from the gym, from the discipline of exercise to the discipline of eating healthy, was all thrown out the door. And since July, I've had to regain that discipline in order to eat right once again, in order to exercise once again. And I usually try for one cheat day a week. However, this past Saturday was my son's 20th birthday, and there was cake and pizza involved, and it just was thrown out the door. And I'm looking ahead. The United Methodist Women's having a bake sale on October 6th, and last year I had a chocolate pecan pie. A whole pie that was out of this world. So I have to train myself the first week of October to get to October 6th. We need to get back on track, Jeff. But to help us get on track spiritually today, I want to take you to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now we see here Paul speaking to Timothy. And Paul was saying to Timothy, more important than physical health and physical training is something that you need to be aware of, Timothy. See, Paul was hoping to visit with Timothy while he was in Ephesus, but he was unable to visit personally with Timothy, so he writes a letter to Timothy. And he gives practical advice to Timothy about life and about ministry. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up with me. We'll be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 6. And Paul writes, "If you put these things before the brothers," we're going to talk about that in a moment, "you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." Paul says to Timothy, command these and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. See, in this passage here, Paul is setting Timothy up with a prescription for success in life and in ministry. And I appreciate this disciplined approach that Paul is giving Timothy here in his passage as a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul was saying basically three things here to Timothy. The first one is this, Timothy. You've got to put the things behind the brothers. We're going to get in that in a moment. And Paul also says here, Timothy, you have to train yourself. You have to train yourself in godliness. And he says to Timothy also, you need to command Timothy. You need to teach these things so that you can track your progress and you can keep watch. Let's look at what Timothy is told first. To put these things before. You see, Paul here is refuting what Timothy was being taught and what Timothy was being faced with. If you go back just a few verses in chapter 4 to verses 1 through 5, Paul was specifically calling out those who were condemning marriage and eating certain foods. In the church at Ephesus at the time, the two things that were being forbidden was eating of meat and marriage. Now, some people were teaching at the time that if you became a vegetarian, and if you were single, then you would be closer to God. That's what they were teaching. And they believed that if you refrained from these behaviors, then you would be close. Now, the Gnostics had a little bit of teaching going on at the time that reflected this as well. And the focus was one-sided. It was not a holistic approach and a view here for the believers. And so Paul was instructing Timothy to discipline yourself in a way that you can see the holistic approach to this. That you can be disciplined spiritually as well as physical. That it just didn't have to be one side of your life that you were focusing on. Because when we look at our whole body as a whole, our body, mind, and spirit, what happens when one part is thrown off? We really suffer, don't we? I know if my back hurts, I really don't feel like praying. I don't feel like doing much. I just feel like sitting. So if I'm physically hurt, then my spiritual and emotional parts hurt as well, and I get cranky. Or if I'm hungry, I can get hangry. So if you have one part of your body that's thrown off, the rest of the body suffers. And Paul's saying here, Timothy, be on check for the spiritual side of this as well. There has to be proper balance in our lives. I look back and I reflect to a year ago. I was at my heaviest I'd ever been. I was nearing 300 pounds. I was exhausted constantly. I was to the point where I needed a nap every afternoon at 4 o'clock just to get through meetings in the evening. And then I was still tired. I was pre-diabetic. I had high blood pressure, and I had no energy to do anything. I was spent, and I possibly was on the verge of a stroke, keeping in the mind that my grandmother had a stroke at the age of 44, and I was 43. I had to put these things behind me because I knew that I was headed for disaster. I was not in a good place. And then I was introduced to the gym by a person from this church, Wes Lindner. Not only has this gym helped me physically, but I'm more alert. I've had a deeper relationship with my wife, Jennifer. I'm a much healthier pastor now to take on church planting. And now I can even feel decent when I go out and preach in 98-degree weather. I'm no longer a pre-diabetic. My blood pressure has returned to a normal level, which might even be a little bit lower than a normal level. I have more energy that I can take on the entire day without taking a break. It's helped me focus on life so much more. And it's allowed me to focus on what God has equipped me to do. You see, Paul is telling the Romans this same thing. If we look in Romans chapter 12, Paul is telling the Roman people, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Remember what Mary Alice said today. Body, mind, and spirit. This is your body. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, transformation takes place when we put the things of this world behind and we strive for something more. Transformation just doesn't happen, though. It just doesn't happen, just doesn't fall from the sky. You know, I wanted to have a healthy body. I couldn't have just gone like this and boom, I'm healthy as all get out now. It doesn't happen that way. I'm going to invite Joe Pickles up. He's going to help me out explain this a little bit. Joe's a big dude. You know, he's muscular and fit, and I know he goes to the gym too, but 1 year ago, I was 70 pounds heavier. And for the life of me, I could barely do a push-up. Barely do a push-up or two. Joe's going to help me demonstrate today what a little bit of training can do. So, Joe's got 235-pound plates here, and I can see you use them too. So here we are, you know, my weight now, and Joe's going to put on my back 35, and Joe's going to go grab the other 35.
Not knowing.
And here we are a year later. I know a few of you out there can do this. And I say that, thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. You're next. I say that because it took training. It just didn't happen overnight. And the same with our spiritual lives. Are we satisfied with mediocrity in our spiritual lives? Are we satisfied with possibly coming to worship for 1 hour a week? Are we satisfied with just doing the minimal work necessary to grow in our faith? What would it look like if we all were engaged in a small group? Like Acts 2, breaking bread together, sharing in fellowship with one another, praying for one another, studying the scriptures with one another, and going out into the world and serving with our small groups. What would it look like if we put the things of this world behind and strove for something greater? Paul also said to Timothy, you need to train yourself in godliness. As a follower of Jesus Christ who walks in the way of righteousness and right living, it is crucial for us that we exercise our faith. This is, as John Wesley says, moving on to perfection. of having a love for God and having a love for others. As a spiritual being, we must exercise ourselves to godliness. And we see Paul using the metaphor of an Olympic athlete here in this passage. And we know what Olympic athletes do in order to train at that level. Today, they have places designated for Olympic athletes. But they train. They spend time. They put all the effort and energy and dedication into being the best athlete they can possibly be in their sport. And so it is with us as a follower of Jesus Christ, to put that time, to put that effort, to put the dedication that we need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, we see Paul here saying today that bodily exercise is profitable, but spiritual exercise is so much more profitable. Because not only does it affect us in this life, it impacts us in the life to come. Our focus as a follower of Jesus Christ is truly to live that godly life. And the reason I tell you all this here this morning is because when we train ourselves in godliness, godliness bears fruit. When we walk in the Spirit of the Lord, we bear fruit of the Spirit. And in that, we exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and we exhibit self-control when we walk by the Spirit of God. And that is great fruit. Because if we bear this kind of fruit, this is the fruit that will transform everything in our lives, including those who are in our sphere of influence as well. But to do that, it means that we have to be consistent in our discipline to train. And there are going to be things that hold us back, but we can't let those things hold us back for too long. You know, Paul tells Timothy in verse 12, he says, don't hold back because people think you're young. Yeah, you're young, but don't let that stop you from being faithful and fruitful. And Paul here is telling Timothy to focus. Focus on it, Timothy. And in our walk with Christ Jesus, we too are called to focus as well. And there are going to be so many distractions out there that are going to buy our time and energy. There's going to be the distractions of social media. There's going to be distractions of work. There's going to be distractions of play. There's going to be all kinds of distractions that are going to keep us from growing in our faith walk. You know, I could have easily said a year ago, you know, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy to go to the gym. But here I am a year later, and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world am I doing at 5 a.m. anyway at 6 o'clock? I'm sleeping. So why not get up a little earlier and do something that could potentially make a difference? Distractions could have easily gotten the best of Timothy. He was young. And Paul was worried about that. And he told Timothy to focus, to train Timothy, to focus on reading the scriptures, to focus on encouraging one another, and to focus on being encouraged in teaching. I'd like for you to think for a moment for your own self. How do you train spiritually? Do you set time to pray? Do you set time in your life to read the scriptures? You set time in your life to worship on a regular basis. You spend time in small groups, growing in community. Do you spend time tithing? Do you serve? Do you visit those people who are in need? Do you go out and feed the hungry? Do you seek justice? All of these things John Wesley calls are the means of grace, the ways to which we experience God in our lives as we go out and train in godliness. What part of your life could grow by training spiritually? And the last thing that Paul tells Timothy is this. Timothy, command. Command and teach these things so that you can track your progress, so that you can keep a close watch. And I appreciate this word that Paul uses here, command. Parangele in Greek, it means to declare, to order. So Paul is saying here to Timothy, Timothy, I need you to order your life in such a way that will grow. And I need you to order your life in a way that you'll be able to teach these things to others as well. As we look into the scriptures, we see Jesus did this very thing as he ordered his life in a way that would pray in solitude in the mornings. And would go out into the evening hours to pray as well. Martin Luther once said, I love this. I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I'd like to close by challenging you here this morning. Some of you may be used in your work to do an inventory. But I'd like for you to do an inventory of your own personal life here this morning. Where is it in your life that you feel rushed? Where is it in your life that you might feel bored? Where in your life can you find time to pray? Where in your life can you find time to study the scriptures? Where in your life can you find time to possibly jump into a small group and grow in community with each other? But you know what? It's not going to happen if you don't make it happen. Because it would never have happened had I just brushed it off last year at the gym and said, I'll get fit one day. It's up to each one of us to decide about our own spiritual journey and how spiritually fit we desire to be. To put things behind, to train, and to command. Let us pray. Lord, as we thank you for your word today, we thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity that we have to make decisions based upon the gift of free will. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to share in word here this morning, to be able to celebrate the sacrament as we see Hoyt growing in faith and love, and as he's being trained and developed. Lord, he's going to be able to command and teach us as well. So Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to be the church. Stand together, to care for each other's needs, to share your love with one another, but also to be able to go out and share it with the world. So Lord, strengthen us for the journey that lies ahead and allow us the opportunity to be able to make these decisions to grow and deepen our faith and our love for you. For this we pray in the precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Church family, we have a call as we leave here today to put things behind, to train ourselves in godliness, and to go out and to command and to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Have a blessed week.